Grace Christian Fellowship, located in Creston, BC, with Pastor David Ripley opening the service, and Pastor Raph Gaudio will be preaching the message. You're about to listen to a Sunday service from February 26, 2023, featuring a baptismal at the very end. There is a video link as well included on this page.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I just want to open up with a scripture from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. And I just want to read a few verses this morning as we begin our service. And this is a part of the Great Commission. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. How many know there's always a few doubters in the midst? Pray that you're not one of them.
Yeah.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." That's the commission that we have as a body of believers. And not only our church, but every gospel preaching church in this valley has been given this commission to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're taking part in today, is a great baptismal service, to see people go through the waters of baptism. It's a display and a proclamation of their commitment to Jesus Christ, that they are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank God that we're not doing all this alone. We have the help of God Almighty. Hallelujah. And so we give God praise this morning. Let's stand, and we're going to just open this service in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this service that you have given to us, Lord, this opportunity to gather together and to magnify and to glorify your name. Lord, as we enter into your presence this morning, we ask that you would forgive us, cleanse us, purify us, fill us. Lord, strengthen us this morning. We pray for the worship team that leads us, that your hand would rest upon them today. Lord, we pray for those that are going through the waters of baptism, that they will sense your divine holy presence flowing in and through them, Lord, touching them. So we want to commit this service into your faithful hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may remain standing as we begin to sing this morning.
Amen. Good morning and welcome.
God, we just bless you and praise you this morning. We ask that you would just meet us in a special way. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning, that we may draw just a little closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Pour out your Holy Spirit, we pray. We just need your presence. We need you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. You know, every few weeks or so, when I arrive to the church, I see that someone has left something behind. Something there. Books. We're getting books. And whoever is leaving these books was either a former Jehovah's Witness or was working on becoming an apologist to be able to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses. Because I find Jehovah's Witness books, Bibles. And I dutifully take them from where they are outside and bring them downstairs and sort through them. So I tell you this only to say that when I arrived on the church on Tuesday, the weather was okay. I went downstairs and was, you know, maybe doing that for about 10 minutes, came back up, and chaos outside. Where'd it come from? I left, well, the women's prayer meeting was canceled. I went out, driving outside, and got a call from Sylvia to say, get some batteries. The power's out. So I go to Pilos, and power's out, the store's shut down. Not chaos, but, you know, it was getting a little bit hairy. The gas station, I went to the gas station to get some gas, not knowing how long this was going to last. And the attendant there is talking about maybe it was going to shut down as well because of the power situation. So I don't know if the reason the power was out was because a tree fell down. Usually that's what happens, right? Oftentimes in a storm, trees get blown down. Heavy rains, snow, gale force winds can knock trees down. But trees are actually designed to stand up, to grow. So oftentimes when those trees are knocked down, perhaps, I'm not a tree expert, perhaps something is wrong with the root system. Oftentimes there is. Or there's a weakness in the tree trunk itself, and it snaps. Now again, this isn't a comprehensive, exhaustive treatise on trees. I don't know enough about it. But what I do know is our Creator, God, who created those trees, created them so they would stand up, provided they got what they needed. So when they fall, conceivably, something is wrong with the root system. How deep do our roots go? That's a question to ask this morning. The situation facing the Colossian church, it's very similar to what we face today in the body of Christ. What do I mean by that? The culture around us and the culture of that day was dealing with what Paul says, hollow and deceptive philosophies. That's what the NIV renders it. According to the traditions of men and elemental spiritual forces. That was affecting the believers. And Paul wanted to address that because it was affecting them in a serious way. So, of course, Colossae is in Asia Minor, which is modern day. Anyone know?
Turkey,
exactly. She wins a prize. But what were those deceptive philosophies, hollow philosophies that Paul's talking about? Well, it was the Gnostics, okay, who held to heretical ideas and writings about Jesus Christ, and that one had to acquire special knowledge in order to be spiritual. The special knowledge that only they had, that they possessed.
Also, cynics, scornful preachers of virtue who preach that only you can only attain virtue from within, not from God, from yourself. Sound familiar? These things are going to remind you of what you hear today in modern times. Okay? It's all the same stuff. Jewish legalists demanding adherence to Jewish law and variations of that. Legalism. You have to obey the law. You have to abide by the law. And that was a real problem. Syncretism. Reconciliation of fusion of differing systems of belief and philosophies of religion. Bringing it all together. We see that today in things like Islam. Merging Christianity and Islam. Can't do it. Doesn't work. And the animists. Animists who believe that spiritual beings were affecting the affairs of the human beings and harming their interests. These opponents to the gospel openly would mock the sufficiency of Christ. Because Christ is all in all. He is sufficient. That's what Paul taught. The gospel was shared with the Colossians. They received it, and all of a sudden they're facing these challenges. Or facing challenges today. The sufficiency of Jesus Christ is challenged all the time. His resurrection is being undermined. People scoff at the Christian faith today. There's so many ideologies, philosophies, false teachings, and heresies that parallel what was taking place at that time. And all through the establishment of the early churches, they dealt with these things. And through the history of the church, the Christian church, up to now. At risk of using this quote, or overusing this quote, from Ecclesiastes, what has been done has been done, will be done, and has been done again. There's nothing new under the sun. We get frustrated by this, but know that it's happened before, and the church has made it through.
Amen.
The church has made it through. Be encouraged today. But see, the thing is we struggle because we see actual Christians that we know, maybe you know, I'm sure, many of you know believers who've attended other churches in this town who are not walking with Christ today. God help us. And He will. If we look to Him. Over a relatively short period of time, theologies and false teachings of wokeism, critical race theory, LGBTQism, let's just call it that, as well as all kinds of syncretism that adopts worldview that challenges the Christian worldview. And there has been casualties because of this. Winds of doctrine are affecting those trees that are supposed to be planted by the Lord. Their roots are being lifted up and they're being blown over. Just to use that same metaphor. Progressive Christianity is where wokeism and LGBTQism is endorsed and championed. Christians, somehow they've been disillusioned with the truth of the gospel that they received, and now their faith is shipwrecked. They've embraced something else. Something is wrong with the roots.
Well, Paul addresses the Colossian church in chapter 2. Let's just turn to chapter 2 now in your Bibles. And we're going to start, just to give a bit of background here. At verse 2, Paul wants to bring encouragement. So now Paul, as we know, sometimes he brings a word of correction, a harsh word. But here, out of Paul's own pen, it says that their hearts may be encouraged. He wants to bring encouragement. And that's what I want to bring to you today, too. Encouragement from the heart of Paul, as guided by the Holy Spirit. Having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God, God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say to you that this, so no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. This was Paul's intention here. Okay? For even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and stability. Everybody say stability.
Stability.
Stability. Of your faith in Christ. So Paul did not plant this church. As we find out in earlier in chapter 1, it was Epaphras. Epaphras was a convert that heard the gospel in Ephesus. And he responded, and he was the one that brought the gospel to the Colossians. So looking at verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. Receive the gospel. So he's saying, in the NIV it says, continue. Keep going. The encouragement here with Paul is, you can do it. How many know that we need encouragement along the way? Amen. As believers, we need to hear that. Yeah. You know, how many played baseball growing up? Okay, there's quite a few. Do you remember when you were up to bat, okay, and maybe your team or your parents or your friends were saying, come on, you can do it, you can do it, come on now. Or pitching, come on, buddy, you can do it. Throw that old pepper ball, come on now, you can do it. Right? Encouragement. You know, I love to watch sports where somebody's really struggling, or like somebody's been running a race, a marathon, and they fall down. I don't like that part. But the thing is, they get up and they're able to finish the race. And you know, people zero in on that. People want to encourage because that's a gift of God that we have. Paul wants to encourage these believers to keep going. Doesn't matter if you heard the gospel a couple weeks ago and responded, or still, perhaps you haven't yet. You haven't responded to the gospel. Well, I'm hoping that you will. I'm hoping that you will respond. Because then when you do, I'm going to say, keep going. That's what Paul is saying. Doesn't matter if you're a new believer or an old believer, keep going. Walk in Him. Live for Him.
Amen.
Amen. Don't give up. Especially now. There are too many that have. There are too many that have a shipwrecked faith right now. There are too many. We have to persevere and keep going. So Paul wants to explain a little bit what that means, walking in the Lord, walking in Christ. So we look at Colossians 1:10 to 12, so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. You no longer live for yourself. You want to please God. Who wants to please God in their life today? Who wants to do that? Choose that. That's something that happens from within. You want to honor Him. It says bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. There it is again, increasing in the knowledge, to know who He is. There's so many competing ideas. There were competing ideas that were going on there that were trying to undermine the truth of the gospel and its implications in the individual life. Christ and something else. Okay, that's what they were hearing. It's a temptation today for others to teach about Christ in a way that, yes, you have Christ, well, you need spiritual knowledge, extra spiritual knowledge. In the church, there was teachings that said, we can show you how to be a prophet. We can show you how to interpret dreams. Christ and. No, not at all. Christ Himself. Christ plus nothing. That's what Paul is getting at here. Living to please God, bearing fruit, being productive, being strengthened. This is how you get strengthened. Not by adopting something different. Not by mixing the truth of the Word of God with other things that come from the world. But sometimes those things are so deceptive and also alluring. So we must be careful. We need to be careful. In the last part, or verse 12, he says, giving thanks to the Father, giving thanks who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of life. Saints in light, sorry. Being thankful today is about as counterculture as you can get. In an age of entitlement. But is that age of entitlement so new? Remember the children of Israel? Oh, you gave us, you took us out of Egypt, but we want meat. We're sick of this bread, we want something else. It's not new. But being thankful flies in the face of that entitlement that we face today. As believers, we need to be thankful. Amen?
Amen.
We need to walk in that. That is the result of walking in Christ. We're thankful people. Filled with thankfulness. Verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. There it is again. It's important. Gratitude is important. Firmly rooted. You keep going in Christ, you keep growing in Christ. Firmly rooted. Those roots need to go down deep into Him. Paul combines an agricultural metaphor and an architecture metaphor. Rooted in Him, being built up in Him. How does a tree flourish? What does it need to flourish? Light? Oxygen? Water? Nutrients, space to grow. Well, the light of Christ, He is our light. He is the air we breathe.
Amen.
He provides us living water with His Holy Spirit. And He plants us where we will grow the most. Amen? Sometimes it feels like it's a dry place. But when we are receiving that living water, we're being refreshed. Those roots go down deep, and they need to go down deep in Him, not in anything else. Psalm 1:3. How a tree flourishes. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight, let's say delight together.
Delight.
Delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates, in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Amen. This is what it looks like. That's how a tree flourishes. As a result of being in the Lord's word, you want to avoid bad company, don't you? You don't want to be around people that constantly niggle at your faith, that constantly try and push. Now, obviously, sometimes we have to engage in that. I'm not saying we don't need to. Sometimes we need to push back in love, right? But you're not going to yoke together with somebody that ridicules your God. Where'd that come from? I don't know. I'm trying to be gentle on this. You avoid the culture of sinners. Drink deep the Spirit of God, that refreshing water that allows those roots to go down deep. For when those winds of false teaching come, you may be swaying a little bit, but you're standing firm.
Amen.
God designed those trees to be able to move with the wind. You ever see those palm trees that are like over like this in hurricane force winds? They don't break. Ephesians 3:16 and 17. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, all the way in there, strengthening you, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you're being rooted and grounded in love, his love. You know who you are. You're continuing to grow. You're continuing to go. Keep going. You're continuing to grow in him. The word and the spirit together. Paul said, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the spirit. The word of God and the spirit of God coming together. Nourishing you.
Yes.
And those roots go down deep into him. Hallelujah. We need instruction, as it says in this verse here. Paul was giving them instruction. In verse 7, he said, being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed. How many know that we need instruction? Yes. Is it just for Pastor Dave and myself? No. Are you instructing yourself in your home, your children? Are you pursuing God's word? You need that. You need that so those roots go down deep. So you will withstand what you're hearing and seeing almost 24/7 on the internet and elsewhere. Those influences. They're there around us all the time.
That's right.
You need instruction. Because we don't know anything. Sometimes we hear... Did I say we don't know anything? I did. We do. Sometimes we don't know how to respond. Persuasive arguments. How many here knows everything? No, I don't. It's back to Pastor Dave saying, who knows all wisdom? Or who doesn't need wisdom? We don't always know how to respond to these tricky philosophies. Hollow philosophies. Deceptive. They're deceptive for a reason. We'll get into that in a second. Keep growing in Christ. Not just learning about him, but knowing him personally. He is a living God. He has a living relationship with you. He is your Lord. He is your God. He's your King. He's your best friend. He's not just some theory. He's not just some theology. stripped of life. He is real. You got to know him. It's a living relationship. Can I hear an amen in this place? Amen. What? This is, praise God. God is worthy. He's alive. We can't forget that. That's the thing. Is the church complacent? Ambivalent to these things. And that's what can happen. We take the Lord for granted.
That's right.
These are powerful truths that we're going to be talking about here in a minute. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. The NIV renders it this way: hollow and deceptive philosophy. Hollow. There's no substance to it. According to human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world. That's what's underpinning these things. They're motivated by evil spirits of this world. That's what they stand for. Traditions of men, evil spirits coming together, propelling and propagating these empty and hollow philosophies. See that no one takes you captive. Well, this is the thing that really struck me. Captive. Prisoner. Enslavement. False teachings enslave. They hold people captive. They become prisoner. Who remembers the situation with Patty Hearst in the 1970s? You young guys won't even know, but I'll explain it in a minute. So Patty Hearst was the daughter of a wealthy, I'm going to say, newspaper magnate of some kind, a very wealthy family, kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army. So what is the Symbionese Liberation Army? Well, it was a left-wing, ultra-left-wing terrorist group. Okay, so she was with them as their captive for 3 months, I think it was. 3 months. Yeah, 3 months. In the third month, there was footage of her from a closed-circuit camera taking part in a bank robbery. She had been indoctrinated by that group, her captors, and she was participating in a robbery. She was a captive that was influenced. Well, you know, this kind of opened my mind a little bit in my heart. This is called Stockholm Syndrome. It's a psychological term. It's upsetting to see Christians adopting LGBTQ beliefs, doctrines, and critical race theory, and scientism, and all these different things. To see them be shipwrecked from what they used to believe, and all of a sudden they're talking like the world. Especially in these areas. But they're captive. And I know that some go further than others. But the fact is they've been taken prisoner. God have mercy upon them. It's called deconstructionism. Is what they've adopted. Where every single bit of your faith is stripped away. Torn down to nothing. The Bible is reduced to, basically, I saw that there was a book out about the Bible called The Naked Bible. Everything that we hold true as being the truth in Jesus Christ is ripped apart, including the sufficiency of Christ. Is it that easy? Christ died on the cross, rose again, set us free? It can't be. Yes, it is. That's the truth. But every single thing that we know what is biblical theology is ripped away and goes through the lens of these false teachings, these false philosophies. And people are shipwrecked, torn apart. You know, it makes me angry to hear that, to what they talk about. But then I forget who they are. They were a former believer. They believe like you and I. They're captive in it now. God of mercy. But these things, as Paul writes here, are man-driven, these philosophies. They're perpetuated by evil spirits. We have to understand that. When I was in college, I took a psychology course. And, you know, it's like every day, it's like you're in this environment and, you know, if you're in high school or you're in any kind of environment that is the world, you're going to be exposed to those philosophies, aren't you? You know, after a while, it gets kind of like, oh boy, tiring. You know, and I had to write papers on Darwinism. I had to read books on Darwinism and Charles Darwin and all this sort of stuff. And you know, after a while, I started like struggling. I was just like, did God really use Darwinism? Evolution? Like, you know, after you get kind of pumped through this, you know, this information, this is many years ago, mind you. But it started to affect me. But you know when the lights came on for me? When all of a sudden they were saying that natural selection, the process in evolution, when they started to give it divine characteristics, they deified it in the book. Well, natural selection just created this. What do you mean it created it? All of a sudden the lights went on. Say, wait a second here. This is not true. This is giving something, some other philosophy, deity. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Him alone. He is sufficient. Nothing else. No other philosophy. Nothing else can compare to him. He is sufficient in all. Lord of all. So any of you that have to deal with this sort of thing day in and day out, remember, have your roots go deep into Christ. Keep knowing. Keep knowing who he is and what he's done for you. And understand. Because in verse 9, Paul says here, for in him is the fullness of deity. He is God. Fullness of deity. Dwells in bodily form. In the incarnation. And in him, we have been made complete. He is the head over and all rule and authority. He has made us complete. We don't have to be driven to find some other thing to complete us, to fulfill us. You know what? If you know somebody that is a friend of yours and that is pursuing some other means, they call themselves a Christian, but they don't feel complete, read them these scriptures. Sit down and have a cup of coffee with them and pray with them. And say, Christ has done it all. Why are you pursuing this? Why are you looking elsewhere? He is your fulfillment, nothing else. Amen. Meditate on the Word of God. Receive the water of the Spirit so that you actually understand what you're reading, not just something that you read over and it doesn't penetrate. This is the truth. We need it now more than ever. Complete in Him. Jesus plus nothing. That was coined by John MacArthur. And I think it's wonderful. Because again, you know, there's a temptation as we hear these things to believe that we're not complete. To believe somehow that the cross was not sufficient. It's not true. You might not be experiencing that, but it's the truth. And if you persevere, the truth will be the truth. God's will come about in your life. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that the cross is sufficient for you?
Amen.
Yes.
That's
right.
And me. Amen. Verse 11 says, and in him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, by which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Well, brothers and sisters, if you forgot this verse, Romans 8:11, I'm going to read it to you. For if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will also raise you to life, your mortal bodies, through the Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We have that power. So, because, don't get me wrong, like these things, I'm not saying just do this all on your own effort. It's the Spirit of God that gives you the strength to do these things. We just have to respond to Him. Supernatural circumcision. See, it's all about the heart. It always was. Circumcision was a sign for the children of Israel, an outward sign. But you know, there are scriptures in the Old Testament that say that it's actually from within. Circumcision is of the heart. So when Paul said that, which he said, circumcision is of the heart, he was just quoting the Old Testament. It always was about what went on in the heart.
Amen.
So when you came to Christ, he did something in your heart that you can't see. Something that says that you belong to him. Something that speaks of covenant. Something that speaks of the new covenant in his blood. You belong to him and no one else.
Amen.
And I pray that those that were baptized, that have now adopted these other things, that they will be brought back because of the strength of Christ within their heart. I refuse to believe that they're gone. Now we know that when you apostatize, there's theology that says that perhaps you are. But we don't know the state of these people. Especially the ones I know that are not following the Lord in this town. We've gone to a church that because of that church and what they teach, they've fallen away. But even that pastor, I'm not going to name him today, but I believe that he can repent too. Because I believe that in his heart, the Lord did something. And that he can be awakened again. And that he's shipwrecked right now. And he needs to be rescued. Maybe this is how we can think about it. Because it's changed my thinking on this. When we observe the Lord's Supper, it's a proclamation of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what baptism is. Is a proclamation. You identify with his death and resurrection. You are a new creation. Sin no longer reigns in your mortal body. It's been nailed to the cross. And when you go down, as you will, and you come back up, you're going into the grave, and you're coming back up, resurrected. And you will be resurrected. It's now, but not yet, isn't it? Say, Pastor Raph, I've heard all this before, I know it. But you don't hear it again. We need to be reminded. Because the gospel is foundational for us. If we are going along in our walk with Christ, and we veer off from the gospel, it's not going to hold together, my friends. It won't. That's why Paul is really capitalizing here and saying, I've got to hammer this home to you. This is important. Baptism is a proclamation of the death, burial, and resurrection, a tangible sign of our union with Christ. You're unified with Him. Verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of flesh, of your flesh, made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, Remember those rulers and authorities that are behind these filthy philosophies we're talking about?
Yes.
He disarmed them. He triumphed over them. And those philosophies, what they do is they mock, they dredge up the past sins that we have. They undermine the totality and finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. They spread fear, and they drive people further and further away from God. They hold them captive. But these evil forces have been disarmed, paraded around like defeated foes by the Lord Jesus Christ, the victorious one. Hallelujah. So, you know, when we actually hear these things, and they start to affect us, they affect our emotions, they start to cause us to not be able to think clearly. Remember, they are defeated. And you know, what we're experiencing now is not reality. It's a trickery that's going on. These spirits are trying to make us think they're not defeated. But they are defeated. Christ is victorious over these things. The truth is the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you've got to cling to it. You've got to know it. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep growing. You've got to keep going down in Christ. Keep going. Keep having those roots go down in Him. In Jesus' name. He came to set the captives free. And we're free indeed. You know, it's interesting about Paul here is that, you know, when Paul dealt with the Galatian heresies, he was pretty strong, wasn't he? You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you, he said. But here, he doesn't do that. Instead of breaking down those false teachers or attacking them, what does he do? He builds up the church. You know, and I know that in our anger, we want to speak out against those false teachers out there, and we do. There's times for that. But I think right now, when we think about these scriptures and apply them to our life, we need to be built up in Christ. That's what we need. Those people that are out there that perhaps God will allow us to bring back in, they need to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if you're struggling and wavering yourself and your roots aren't very strong, you could be a casualty too. I found that in this whole study that I undertook, that I feel more compassion for these people. Because again, as I said, they're captive. They're taken hostage. And I recognize my own weakness. That if I'm not built up, if I don't keep going, if I don't keep growing, it can happen to me too. Jude 1:23. There's only one chapter. It says this: save others, snatching them out of the fire, and some having mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. So the thing is, I want to say this, is that the church has made mistakes when dealing with people with same-sex attractions in the past, homosexuality. Questions that maybe we didn't have the answers for. Now, I'm not saying this church. I'm saying the church in general. And you know what? I think that at times the church responded in the flesh and practically pushed some of those people out. It wouldn't take the time actually to walk with them in their questions and in their struggles. But also they chose that as well. So there's responsibility on those people as well. But I think in this day and age, right now, we can't run away from these issues. There are people that are near the fire, and we need to help them. But we need to be strong ourselves. Because again, like, if you see, I mean, people that have walked with the Lord, that have been public out there, and then all of a sudden they are adopting these beliefs, these worldviews, and they're all but apostatizing. Some are blaspheming. Can God bring them back? Well, yeah. Are you willing? Are you willing to be a part of that? Because I think they need us.
Right, come on.
But make sure your roots are strong. Make sure that you can withstand the storms, those winds of false teaching. I hope you're encouraged today. I was encouraged by diving deep into this. Just reminded that Jesus is our all in all. And you know what? It's not just some glib thing to say. It's the truth. It's something that we can't take for granted. Let's stand and pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he is all we need. He is the one who's made us complete. That we don't have to look elsewhere. We don't have to figure out some other way. We don't have to add to what has been freely given to us. Help us, Lord, to be trees that stand in the storm. Help us to be fruitful trees that produce that fruit that we're called to. We can't do it on our own. We don't want to do it on our own. We need you. Because we can't do it on our own. We need your Spirit to give us the strength, to give us the power. Oh God, we just call out to you. We thank you, Lord, that we have three men today that are acknowledging these truths. Lord, may they recognize that this is a lifelong process of going, growing and knowing. Knowing who you are. Knowing who they are in you. We bless you and we praise you today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
in my heart.
Someone just to come and just lift this mic up a little bit.
I can do it.
Yeah, just lift it up a little bit. Just do this, just poke that up. That's it. Perfect. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, the water is warm, and I think I'll take a dip. We're so thankful that we can have a water baptismal service in February.
Amen.
Otherwise, we'd have to wait till the real warm weather in July. Praise God. Well, we're going to have our first person going through the waters of baptism, Trevor. Brother Trevor. You to come on down. Do not touch the mic. We're going to give you an opportunity to give a little testimony of what God has been doing in your life. You're from Yak, and I remember the first time I saw you when you came to the Bible study not too many months ago. Just share a little bit of what the Lord has done in your life.
Okay, so I grew up in a Christian family, so I always had that in my life. But as I grew into teenage years, I strayed from the faith, and I was really lost and blind. And now I look back and I think what a fool I was. But around 2019, at the end of the year, my grandmother passed away. She was the most godly Christian I ever knew, and it just reignited something in me.
Mm. Praise God.
And now, I moved to Yak in October. I went to a Bible study that I saw a poster for, and just welcomed with open arms to this family. God is moving in my heart, and today I'm here to commit to do the will of God in my life.
Amen. Trevor, upon confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Larry, would you like to share a little something about what the Lord has been doing in your life?
Yeah, my name is Larry Rast. I grew up in a small town, Saskatchewan, in a godly home. Went to church my whole life there, and we were just sprinkled there as children, and that was the deal. So as I got older, I started to fall away. When I was in high school, I was going a bit sideways, so ended up going to Prairie High School for a couple of years, and that was a good spot. Got to play hockey on the Prairie Pilots. So.
Yes.
But even more important than hockey, it's true, there is stuff more important than I got closer to God there.
Amen.
I rededicated my life. Then a few years later, I moved to Creston. In 94, I moved to Creston. In 95, married my wife. And God's been moving and leading me and bringing to mind that I do need to go through the water. Jesus. Because I have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
I know what you're thinking. Are we going to be able to do this? Larry, upon confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
To walk in the blind, to see, open. Named Derek. I was a very private and prideful man, trying to portray the persona of having it all together. But in truth, I was living a lie of a very broken life. Alcohol, painkillers, a failing marriage, loss of a six-figure-a-year job, broken family members, relationships, loss of freedom, and the general realization that we're all living in a twisted, malevolent, broken world. It was all weighing heavy on my mind. Then within the span of a couple weeks, I lost the best friend of my life, of over 45 years, and my marriage collapsed. I was devastated and broken beyond words. I was flooded with emotions that I've never experienced before. Then I slipped into a deep, dark depression that I had no idea how to navigate through. I felt my life was over. Then one night during an intense rainstorm, I got a vision, like a beautiful oil painting hovering in the sky just above my house in the clouds. It was a beautiful picture of Jesus. I reached for my phone to take a picture of it. But a voice in my head said, "It's just for you, John." I tried for weeks to understand what just happened, but I couldn't make any sense of it. Finally, I felt the need to reach out for guidance. Quick internet search, and I came across Grace Fellowship Church. I sent an email and quickly received a reply from Pastor Raft to meet with him. Pastor Raft helped me understand that what happened was through the power of God, and that I was saved and Jesus was real. God came to me, introduced himself, spoke to me, and lifted me back up onto solid ground. Did it sink in right away? No. I stumbled and fell multiple times after, until one powerful day this year in January, when I was at this church, and after service, Pastor Dave invited everyone to come up that needed special prayer. Normally, I'm reluctant to do such things because I'm a prideful man. But this time, it was like I didn't have control of my legs. And before I knew it, I was standing in the front of this church with Pastor Dave anointing and praying over me. I truly felt the Holy Spirit enter me. It changed me from the inside. It softened my heart and gave me what I can only describe as a protective shield that I can still feel strong today. Amen. Dear Lord, you forgave me, you redeemed me, and you changed my life forever. So on this day, I publicly sacrificed my old self. I return to you the gift of free will, and I choose from this day forward to follow you as my Lord and Savior until my last breath.
I love you.
We want to thank God for John, another individual that's been impacted by the Bible study in Yak. We thank God for his life today. John, upon confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, God bless you. Take a few moments to sing. We're going to get cleaned up, and we're going to come back to make some presentations this morning.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which all I have sought since Jesus came into my heart.
Follow Jesus.
be seated. We're going to invite the candidates to please come forward this morning.
Missing John yet.
What?
We're missing John yet.
Missing John. We're missing one. Just come forward and face the audience. Congratulate them this morning, and then we're going to move downstairs in the lower auditorium and enjoy a time of fellowship as we rejoice with those that have gone through the waters of baptism.